Good morning, Faith Church. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. I tell you what, death cannot hold back the people of God. Death cannot hold back the people of God because we know the one who is risen indeed. I cannot tell you how much of a pleasure it is to be with you all this morning. Good morning on this Lord's Day, on this Resurrection Sunday. We're going to be looking at a fascinating passage that transpired during the Passion Week. Luke 13, by the way, that's what we're going to be looking at, is a very fascinating passage because Jesus is speaking to a group of people who had a question that took place around Passover week. It took place to a certain people group. It doesn't matter whether it's a people group or not. It could happen to anybody. But it was a recent calamity that shook them on a day that they were supposed to be worshiping. I mean, it can happen even right now. And in Luke chapter 12, Jesus has been challenging his listeners with the truth that would have been really difficult to accept about a topic that he was talking about. If you have the opportunity to read through chapter 12 of Luke's passage, you're going to see that he was really shaking them up in their thinking. He was really challenging their thought process. He was talking about hypocrisy. He was talking about greed. He was talking about apathy. These were difficult things to hear from the Lord to the people. And Christ's teaching was often directed. It was often pointed, as Jesus' words often were. All you need to do is just do a devotion. Sometimes your heart is pricked by the receiving of the word of God in the morning time or in evening time or whatever day it is that you read the word of God, even for a short period of time, because that's how penetrating the word of God was. His teaching was always direct. It harkened back to what the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. He talks about that. The whole topic of this particular sermon is, don't waste the opportunities that are given to you in a pandemic, or even if it's not a pandemic, don't waste your opportunity. Don't waste the pandemic. Don't waste your opportunities that the Lord has given to you, no matter what day it is. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, it says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Boy, that's true, right? Nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And since Jesus is the Son of God, I mean, it shouldn't be surprising that much of what he had to say required a radical change in people's thinking. A radical change in people's behavior. He was trying to change their mind. And when you change someone's mind, their thinking changed. And when their thinking changed, their behavior changes. It was challenging. It wasn't always very easy to hear. But yet he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. You know that. And that he spoke the words of life. But he had to say things that were difficult. He had to say things that were hard, and much of Luke chapter 12 fits in that category. And so now we get to Luke chapter 13, and some of the listeners asked him for direction about something that took place, about a recent tragedy. The incident probably took place, again, as I said before, on a Passover, because the people who died took place while they were sacrificing. Of all the times to die, it's when you're worshiping, right? Again, that could happen now. Pilate, the Roman ruler, he ruthlessly slaughtered a group of people, and then he had the audacity to mix their own blood with the blood of the sacrifices. I mean, that's pretty brutal. It's not easy. I mean, they were shocked by what they saw. But I mean, this is like Pilate. It was very consistent with who he was. It was consistent with his character. So with that said, let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all of the Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." I mean, that's a shock, right? They didn't expect that. "Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Verse 6. "And he began telling them a parable. A man had a fig tree, which had been planted in his vineyard, and he looked for fruit on it and did not find any." Verse 7. "And he said to the vineyard keeper, 'Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?'" Verse 8. "And he answered and said to him, 'Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down.'" Father in heaven, we're reminded this day that your Son had risen from the grave, which is a confirmation that we who live in him will rise again as well. And it is our hope, Lord, this morning that those who have not heard the gospel articulated, or perhaps there are some who are here who have not surrendered to the lordship of your Son, oh God, I pray that you would soften their hearts using your words. Lord, I have nothing to say, but you have plenty to say. My words don't have power. Your words have authority. Your words have power. Lord, I have no power to raise the dead. Lord, you have power to raise the dead. Lord, I have no power to strengthen hearts. Lord, your word has power to strengthen hearts. And so I pray this morning that you would help me, Lord, to give your word. Help your people to understand and to listen, God. And may spiritual resurrection life happen this morning to the person or to the people who don't know your Son. Give them life, Lord. Breathe in their nostrils the breath of life this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so our point this morning as we enjoy life in his name, as I said before, is don't waste the pandemic. Don't waste any opportunity, really, that the Lord has given to you. Whatever circumstance that we find ourselves in, whatever day and age it may be, don't waste those opportunities. That's the whole point. Whether it be a Passover, Resurrection Sunday, don't waste any opportunity that the Lord has given to you. Don't waste the pandemic. And so we're going to be looking at four proper responses when facing calamity. I mean, what do we do? What do we say to people? How do we give them hope? And I think the way that we give them hope is to understand and believe that Jesus invites your hard questions. In other words, read the book. Be challenged by what is written in the book. Surrender to what is written in the book. Because we all have to decide where to go for answers and directions, right? I mean, that's what Peter said in response to what Jesus said. Are you going to leave too? And then Peter's response was, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go for difficult questions? This book has the words of eternal life, you see? That's where we're going to go. That's what we're going to turn to. We're going to turn to our Lord. We're going to be encouraged by our Lord. But there are some, we know, we live in this day and age, it can be very pessimistic. It can be very discouraging. I mean, this is what the scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, "For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine." They're not going to want to hear the difficult things. You see? You get that? "But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." And they're going to want to hear what they want to hear. See that? "And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Don't be that guy. Don't be that gal. That's a good application. You don't want to be that kind of person who doesn't want to listen to difficult things. And the part of what's important to note about what we are seeing in Luke chapter 13 is that these men and women took their questions directly to the best person ever, to Christ, knowing full well that his perspective, his divine perspective, might be dramatically different than theirs. Who are you going to go to, right? Who are you going to go to receive the words of life? They knew. They knew who Jesus was. And so God wants to engage us. He wants to engage and challenge our thinking. My friends, all of us who are here, who are in Christ, are growing spiritually. I mean, we are sanctifying work of God glorifying art, right? I mean, we are portraits of grace because of what he did for us on the cross. On this Remembrance Day, as we look back, that he is risen indeed, right? I mean, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will" what? "Will perfect it." Will perfect it. Until the day of Christ Jesus. Why? Because of what happened 2,000 years ago when he risen from the dead, because it was a confirmation that his sacrifice was accepted. That is why we are portraits of grace, because of what he did. We can face, there's a hymn about that, we can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know, oh, oh. You don't want me to sing that rest of that song. But you get the point, right? One of the ways he spiritually stretches our spiritual muscles, right, is to challenge us, right? I mean, to get us to think with appropriate wisdom, right? With appropriate application, right? Because when tragedy does strike, what do we think about? This day. We think about this day. I mean, do you really believe that? Do you really appropriate that in your life? I mean, when you consider yourself a Christian or perhaps someone who is just thinking about making that decision, are you supposed to ask the hard questions or just be quiet and just toe the party line, right? And so what we're seeing where Jesus' first three words in response, I mean, what we're seeing here is in Luke chapter 13, verse 2, Jesus said to them, "Do you suppose?" In other words, "Do you suppose?" He's challenging their thinking. I mean, what is he doing? He's asking the question that's designed to help reshape the way they're thinking, to reshape the way that we think, even today. Perhaps this reminds you of another verse from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. "Come now, let us reason together." You see that? Let us reason together. Our Lord wants us to come to him. Jesus invites your hard questions because understand that there's no universal relationship between calamity and sinfulness. I'll say that again. There's no universal relationship between calamity and sinfulness. It's implied that the crowd asked Christ about these Galilean worshipers who had been, I mean, absolutely slaughtered. I mean, they wanted answers. They wanted answers. And so our Lord responded saying, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners because they suffered such things?" I mean, he goes right to the heart of it. I mean, he was correcting a common religious belief in that day. It even exists today, by the way. That suggests that when some misfortune happened to someone, it was because of a sin that was so heinous that it awakened God's wrath to pour down upon those individuals or people group or you fill in the blank. I mean, but it doesn't end there. Our Lord raised a second example just to be sure that there's no misunderstanding. He talks about in verse 4, or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who lived in Jerusalem? You see that? You see how he's challenging them? I mean, they probably don't even know what to say, right? I mean, we don't know a lot about that event either, but what's clear in this particular text is Jesus' answer is clearly no. No. I mean, should we assume that the Galileans who died were more sinful than other Galileans and that God was therefore mad at them? The answer is really simple. No, don't think that way. They were thinking that way. Don't think that way. Should we assume that the people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell were more sinful than other men in Jerusalem? The answer is no, don't think that way. Don't think that way. Change your thinking. Do you remember what happened with the Apostle Paul? When he was in Malta, he was making a fire with a bundle of sticks when a poisonous snake slithered out and bit him on the hand. Remember that? I'll read it to you. Acts chapter 28, Acts 28, verses 4 and 5. Here's the thinking of the people in that day. Again, it exists today. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, here's what they said. No doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live, right? You see that? That's their thinking, their theological framework, their thinking. But then what happened afterwards? But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They're like, oh, he's a god! And then they went into worse thinking. It's like, you see that? That was their thinking. I mean, unfortunately, there are even people today, unfortunately, that have that kind of thinking in our day. Look, bad theology is all over the place. Bad thinking is all over the place. I remember when Hurricane Katrina, remember Hurricane Katrina, for those of you older people who are here in the room? Remember when it slammed down back in 2005 in Louisiana? I mean, it was a Category 5 hurricane. 1,800 people passed away. $125 billion in damages. And the response by some religious people was just absolutely amazing. One well-known person, I'll protect his name to protect the guilty. One well-known person came out and said that Hurricane Katrina came out and said that it was God's judgment against the city of New Orleans. That's what he said. Because of what was going on in Mardi Gras. Right? We all know what Mardi Gras is, right? We all know. But what about all the other Mardi Gras events that happens in this country that Hurricane Katrina didn't slam down on, right? How about that? Did you ever put that into the equation? Others have said that the fall of the Twin Towers on 9/11 was God's judgment upon America. I mean, that can go on and the kind of thinking expressed in Jesus' day about natural disasters and unfortunate events is also expressed in our day and age, too. I mean, do you think that the people in Louisiana are worse sinners than the people in America? Do you think the people who died at the Twin Towers were worse sinners than those in New York City? Do you see that? I think I would know. I think we all know what Jesus would say. The answer is, what? No, not at all. I mean, it was a theological palm to the face. So our Lord warns us not to be so quick to assume such things. Don't be so quick. You don't know who those people are. On the other hand, sometimes calamity does occur because of sinfulness. We need a bit of theological balance here. I mean, Scripture is pretty clear on this. Sometimes people do get ill because of their sin. I mean, take a moment to read James chapter 4. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing his head with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Right? And so there's no question about some sinfulness, or sickness, I should say, as a result of something that happened in their life and they're sick because of sin. Sin does do that. Sin does certainly cause people to get sick. But we still need to be careful. We need to be careful. This passage is clear. I mean, you can't automatically just conclude that about every single illness. You see what I'm saying here? I'm just trying to be careful here. I mean, sometimes when calamity does strike because of a person is reaping what he's sowing. Remember in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says God is not mocked. You know that God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, that person is going to reap. He's going to reap what he sows. So then, yes, sometimes that is certainly the case. But based upon what Christ said emphatically in this passage. You just can't look at those who have avoided serious calamity during the pandemic and say God was pleased with them, and those who had who had bad outcomes, God was displeased with them. Don't look at those circumstances that we're living in right now and assume those things. Don't think that way. Don't think that way. Please don't think that way. God can accomplish multiple purposes with multiple people, with multiple spiritual situations simultaneously. You see? And so the Lord, He's been shaking up creation. Romans 8 talks about the shaking up of the created order, because there's going to come a time in which things will change. The Reformation is coming. You believe that, right? The Reformation of my body is going to take place. The Reformation of your body is going to take place. But right now, while we're in the waiting, there's a groaning that's taking place. I mean, we've been going through it for the past 12 months, and I think it's okay for me to say this. For many of us, that was a needed and necessary exercise. I think sometimes we can get pretty used to our routines. We get used to the things we like the things that we like. And sometimes I think we can be apathetic and even complacent about the things of God, right? And so I think the Lord can, He is sovereign. He knows, His Ephesians 1:11, He ordains and works all things according to the counsel of His good will. I think He shook us up a little bit, right? So I think in God's providence, He allowed this to take place. He allowed certain events to take shape and mold us. And I want you to remember this on Easter Sunday, that we are God's portraits of grace. We're His portraits of grace. I want you to remember every Easter that comes around why we are what we are in Christ Jesus today. Why we are what we are in Christ Jesus today, because of what He accomplished on Easter, having risen from the dead indeed, yeah? We will one day rise again in power. There's going to be no more pandemics. There's going to be no more suffering. No more disease. Perhaps at times I think we should say with the psalmist in Psalm 119, it's good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn of your statutes, that I may learn of your precepts. And sometimes we learn an awful lot when tragedy strikes on any given day. And so where does that leave us, right? Where does that leave us in this fallen world? Where does that leave us in a falling, decaying world? And I think if Luke has taught us anything, there's little doubt as to the answer. I think that God's view, God's mercy upon you, view that. View God's mercy upon you as an opportunity for repentance. See that? I'll say it again. View God's mercy upon you as an opportunity of repentance. I mean, think about it. What's clear? What is the clear and repeated point of what we're reading in Luke chapter 13? Verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You know that people died when Jesus was resurrected? You know that, right? You know people died today? As we're worshiping our Lord, people die. We're all going to die. We all are. There's no question about that. But are you in Christ when you die, or are you out of Christ when you die? I mean, that's the reference to the Galileans who had been slaughtered. I mean, what was the answer? Was the answer any different about those who died when the Tower of Siloam fell? Again, Luke 13, verse 5 tells us. The answer is the same. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that in light of the day that we are celebrating today. Repentance is especially possible. It's appropriate because we have a Savior who died on the cross for our sins. And we are being challenged to repent. And He was buried. And rose again on the third day, proving death wrong. Death couldn't hold Him back. He is risen indeed, right? He is risen indeed. The price was paid at the cross. If forgiveness and new life is possible because of the power of the gospel, why wouldn't we use an event like this this worldwide pandemic as an opportunity to consider any possible need of repentance. Yes? Some of you might say, of what? Of what? The answer to that is that it's varied as the spiritual conditions represented in this room. But consider this for a second. Consider this. What tendencies of your heart, what tendencies of your speech and life were revealed by coronavirus? What tendencies rose up through those providential circumstances? Were they good? Were they bad? What was your response? The point of our title is, don't waste the pandemic. Don't waste it at all. Don't waste it of your belief that you could live successfully apart from a personal relationship with God. I wonder how many people will hear this message who went into COVID or coronavirus or any future calamity that may take place. I wonder how many people will hear this message as men or women who did not have a personal relationship, who didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And perhaps they believed that life consisted of the abundance of things and man possesses that Jesus discussed in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, right? And perhaps they were putting the issue of what would happen after they died to further in the further recesses of their minds. I mean, what's the first step that's required of a person being in such a condition? And the answer is simple. Repent. Repent. It means to turn around, to go in the opposite direction. In other words, I used to think this way, but now I'm thinking this way. Because I'm thinking this way, my behavior changes. Everything about me is changing. I used to be headed in one way, and now I'm headed in another way, another direction. And sometimes it takes the Lord removing some of the things that we're so used to, and the things that we trust in to bring us to a point of recognizing that we need a personal relationship with the living God of Scripture to sustain us each and every single day. And so I say this to you, my friends, that if you have never made a decision, I would urge you to do it today. Trust in the Lord today, because tomorrow may never come for you. It may never, ever come. It's one thing to go into a pandemic without Christ. It's something entirely different to come out of it in the same spiritually lost condition. Don't waste the pandemic. Don't waste the opportunity. If you hear the gospel, respond to the hearing of the gospel. Three members of my family contracted coronavirus. Three of them of my family. Unfortunately, my mom passed away on May 11th. Of coronavirus, the complications of coronavirus. I mean, it just absolutely ravaged her body. I mean, she was 87 years old, and I had the opportunity to give her the gospel one last time before she passed away. My father died 5 years prior. Very difficult man. Very hard man. I'll keep it short with this, except to say I'm not very hopeful that I'll see him again. But I am hopeful that I'll see my mom again, because her heart was so softened at the death of my dad. Because of some calamity that struck my father. You see, the Lord uses calamity and circumstances to draw his people to himself. And so I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that I'll see her again, because he is risen. He is risen indeed. My mom did not know that when they were going to put her down, you know, I don't know what they do in hospitals. I just know that they had to put her under because it was becoming, her breathing was becoming very belabored. They had to put her down. She did not know that she would not wake up. I went to see my sisters. They said, she's awake, but she can hear you, but she's going to be unresponsive. I get in the room. I start giving. I tell her who I am. And the vitals just go off the charts. And so she can hear me. And I just started talking to her. And weeping. Hoping to God that the Lord would give her an opportunity to live. But the Lord saw fit to answer my prayer by not answering it. The Lord saw fit to use a particular circumstance to end my mom's life. And so regardless of what your views are on this particular calamity, I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Use the opportunity that the Lord has afforded to you in Christ. Use the opportunity. Don't waste the pandemic of a tendency to find ultimate joy and satisfaction in lesser gods. For some people who call themselves Christians, their lives are wrapped up in the next vacation or the next sporting event or the next good time. And those things are good. Don't get me wrong. Scripture does say, you know, to enjoy the life that the Lord has given to you, right? Just don't let that become idolatry. There's a transference. Don't let that become idolatry. I said to you before, regardless of your view on coronavirus, how it was handled, I don't care. I don't care. Could you consider that maybe, just maybe, that the Lord remove some of your pursuits for a time to guide us to the one who's more faithful and reliable and sustainable? You think maybe? Maybe? C.S. Lewis said, I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who wants us to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the other, by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. We are far too easily pleased. How about another question? Is it possible that the Lord has allowed some of those lesser gods in our lives to topple so that we might find the only one left truly standing worthy of our adoration and worship? I'm talking about the one who is risen indeed. Jeremiah chapter 2, it says this. He says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The things that we have that we can so closely cling to, they just don't satisfy. They don't satisfy. They're broken cisterns. They don't hold any water. We go to the person who has the waters of eternal life. And some of you might say that repentance is hard, right? Some of you might say, repentance is hard. It's so hard to follow him. I mean, it means I need to change, yes? It means I need to give up the rule of my own life. Yeah, you got to give up the rule of your own life. You got to give up your idols. You cannot serve two masters. It's not easy to admit ways we need to change and give up the rule of our life over to Christ. But this is where Easter enters into the story. John's letter, John's first letter, he discussed the issue of walking in the light, of having an open attitude toward admitting our sin. And then he says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. And so then because Christ is our propitiation, I'll say it this way, because Christ is our satisfaction, that's what propitiation is. He's our satisfaction. He satisfied the wrath of God. He's our propitiation. And because he's our advocate, We can go to Him boldly. We can go with our tears to Him. We can go with our cries. We can go with whatever it may be that's in our lives. We can go to Him because we know that we will find complete forgiveness in Him, along with the hope and the power of change. You don't want to come out of this pandemic spiritually as the same person you entered the experience 12 months ago. You see what I'm saying? Or did you not change? Did your attitude not change? Don't waste the pandemic. Don't waste the opportunity of presuming on the future instead of trusting God for our daily provision. Remember what He said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11? He says, give us this day our daily bread. Do you remember that? When you're not sure, or if you're not sure if you're going to have a job or if the economy is going to survive, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? We don't know. I mean, for all we know, America's going to tank. Give us this day our daily bread. He tells us to come to Him and pray. You can pray this in Russia. Give us this day our daily bread. You can pray this under a pandemic. Give us this day our daily bread. Whatever it is, whatever the background, whatever it may be, give us this day our daily bread. In Ephesians 5:6, He reminds us to make the most of what? Of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. The days are evil that we're living in. The days are encroaching. They're just growing more and more evil. So how does this parable in verses 6 to 9 fit into the conversation? Well, I think it could fit this way. What you're going to do is you're going to seek greater fruitfulness with the time that's entrusted to you. Just seek greater fruitfulness. Seek greater fruitfulness with the time that's entrusted to you. What should the Galileans who weren't slaughtered do, right? Answer, use the tragedy as an opportunity to consider needed areas of repentance so that they can be more fruitful for the Master. What about those to whom the Tower of Siloam didn't fall? Same answer. What about those who lived during 9/11, right? Same answer. What about those during Katrina? Same answer. What about those in any circumstances? Same answer. Same answer. Use the tragedy as an opportunity to consider needed areas of repentance so that they can be applications so that you can be more fruitful for the Master. And then while you're doing that, look, just grow in thanksgiving. You know, the scripture says in everything what? Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I mean, that's His will. It literally says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There you go. The will of God is right there, right? It's not some foggy mystery, right? It's not like you're going outside today. You're probably going to, hide some Easter eggs, and you're going to be stashing around for your kids. And you're going to be saying, you're getting warmer. That's like some people think like that's the will of God. It just literally just says, this is the will of God that you just say thanks. His will is not a mystery. Just give thanks. Hide those stinking eggs and have fun. But enjoy it. Enjoy it, right? Enjoy the will of God. Just say, Lord, thank you for this time, right? Thank you for this day. Thank you we can be together on this day. Enjoy it. Just say thanks. It's that simple. You give Him glory for that. You give Him glory. We have a tendency to take the people around us for granted, whether it comes to healthcare workers, janitors, funeral directors, educators, moms who become teachers, small businesses, owners, restaurants, government leaders. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. Value relationships, hospitality, fellowship with your church family. Come to church! That's what I'm saying. Come to church. Come to church. Hebrews 10:24-25 says this, and let's consider how we might stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What day? The day of Christ. We stimulate one another, abounding in the work of the Lord. I'll just go ahead and end with this. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. How in the world can you stimulate somebody if you're not here? You're not gonna. You're not gonna. Be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Don't waste the opportunity. Don't waste it. Because all of us in this room, on this day, we're going to see our Lord. We're going to see our Lord. And what is it that he's going to say? Because of what he did, because of what we're celebrating today, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. It's going to happen for all of us. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, help us not to waste any opportunity. Please, God, help us to foster and to stimulate growth and accountability, Lord, on this day. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have risen. You have risen indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.